My next guest, invited to reflect on NIDO Quick 2024 in her area of expertise, is Professor Marie Toombs, a proud ULI and Akuma woman who has been at the forefront of developing culturally appropriate strategies to address the disproportionate mental health challenges faced by First Nations people. As a self-described grassroots Aboriginal researcher, Professor Toombs understands the importance of amplifying Indigenous voices and perspectives in the mental health discourse. Professor Toombs, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you for having me.
How can mental health services and support be made more culturally appropriate and accessible for Indigenous communities during NIDOC Week and beyond?
It's one of those questions I've been asked a lot, and it's a really frustrating question because the answers don't sound like something that a Western construct would like to hear. So, for example, you know, how can we work in this space? Well, it is about connection to country. Most people's eyes like start to haze over when you say that, or it is about listening to what we have to say as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and not actually whitewashing it with some Western policy. So if we're going to change the way that mental health and well-being looks in this country, we have to, for Aboriginal people, have Indigenous ways of knowing and being, and it's very, very hard to articulate what that would look like under a Western framework. So the only way we can do it is to actually flip the way that we look at mental health and focus on the traditional ways that we have looked after our health for millennia. And so that's what I would say is where we need to start with this.
And what can traditional cultural practices and connection to land play in supporting the mental health of Indigenous communities, and how can this be celebrated during NIDOC Week?
It means everything. I have a big National Health and Medical Research Council grant that I was awarded about 6 years ago, and because of COVID it's kind of been delayed, but it's actually looking at the impact that traditional healing practices have on First Nations peoples. And, you know, it's pretty sad in a lot of ways that whilst, you know, these practices have been around for 65,000 years and we are the oldest surviving civilization in the world, I have to get a research grant to prove the efficacy of this. But nevertheless, that's what we're doing. But what we've found through this process of working with traditional healers, a male and a female, in a cohort of Aboriginal peoples up on the Darling Downs to reduce the rates of depression and anxiety has been absolutely incredible. And so from a previous study where we did a prevalence using the DSM-5, which is a diagnostic Western mental health tool, we had a cohort of about 544 participants involved in that. And we've invited those participants to be part of working with these traditional healers and measured that as we've gone along. But for many mob, it's this whole piece about our spirit being sick or our spirit is sleeping. And it comes back to that piece about our identity and this fragility of identity, because we don't feel a sense of place like we should in the country that is and rightfully ours as the first peoples of this country. So through this traditional healing piece, people are saying things like, my spirit has woken up, and, you know, they're feeling happy and healthy, but it's really just that connection, I think, with the land and with these healers who actually, the two of them work very differently to each other. So the male healer does a lot around language and dance and laying of hands, and the female healer does a lot more with a different style of practice that's more appropriate for women. And so both have shown to be these really kind of powerful tools, I suppose, to support people.
Yeah, you've just spoken about the healers, but going back to mental health professionals, how can they improve their cultural competency to provide more effective and especially sensitive support to Indigenous Australians, especially during significant events like NAIDOC Week?
Yeah, I think it's co-designing, and there's definitely a place for Western medicine and Western clinical diagnoses, but I think working alongside traditional healers as a way to complement Western ways of doing things would be a really nice way of celebrating and acknowledging that we also have our ways of healing. And, you know, there are some really great clinical psychologists out there that do that, and there's some nice examples around Australia where that is happening, and also in, you know, chronic health and hospitals. Particularly Alice Springs has a wonderful program where they have their Nunkari, which is the language word for healers up there in Alice Springs, where the Nunkari will see Indigenous peoples as they're coming in off country and may not have English as first language, and will tell and work with this mob around whether they need to see a doctor or whether it can be handled through, traditional ways. But both the Nunkari and the clinicians respect each other's ways of doing things, I suppose. So to me, that's a good best practice model.
In what ways can the broader Australian community better recognise, respect and learn from Indigenous approaches to mental health and well-being, especially during NAIDOC Week celebrations?
Yeah, look, I think it all goes back to education, doesn't it? And, you know, this is a country that doesn't really know the history of its First Nations peoples. And so I work in university, I've been teaching cultural safety and capabilities now for 25 years, and you'll watch these young people come in and they have no idea about anything Indigenous, or, you know, somebody might have a little bit of an understanding, and by about week, you know, 3, 4 or 5 of a course that they're taking with me, you just see the look on their face of like, why don't we know this? And, you know, this is amazing and we want to be a part of this. And so that's where it has to start, is, you know, in those early years of school, and then, you know, let it be scaffolded and built upon during the years of schooling, and then, you know, out into the big wide world. And if you look at New Zealand, for example, you know, they have they have been teaching Māori studies from the early years right through. And you'll see and hear language and culture everywhere the moment you step off a plane over there, like, because they've just done it so well.
Ahead in so many ways compared to what to do. We're a bigger country, and yet it seems the bigger you are, the harder it gets to move things around, like the Titanic, they say. It's a massive ship and hard to move around, not as nimble as the smaller countries who are more advanced. Now, before I let you go, anything you'd like to add to the conversation we may have missed?
No, only that, NAIDOC Week is a celebration for us as mob. The theme for this year is Keep the Fire Burning, Black, Loud and Proud. And, yeah, I just, you know, people have got to get behind us as First Peoples, you know, the non-Indigenous community, the allies, like, you know, it's not our job to continually educate you, but work with us, because, you know, post-referendum, I feel that we've just gone back 20 years and, you know, I don't have the energy, like many of us blackfellas out there, to start climbing up that hill again. So, yeah, I think that would be the message. But we are very, very resilient, and I think this year in particular will be a particularly hard year for us post that referendum, where, you know, Australia pretty much said we're not interested in you. So, yeah, so that's, I'll leave it there.
Professor Murray Toombs, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio today.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.